Excuse me. This is Mark Siska, Chair of the Arizona Personnel Board. I would like to call the April 30th, 2020 open public meeting of the Arizona Personnel Board. I would like to call that in order. The location of this meeting is actually via the web. All of our parties are participating via the web. The time is 10:09.
Mark?
Yes, Robin?
Actually, I am at the 1740 West Adams Street Conference Room B.
Okay. Robin is at our office at 1740 West Adams Street Conference Room B in Arizona, otherwise known. Members and participants are participating in the Robin, would you please do a roll call?
Mark Siska.
Here.
Harmony Duport. Harmony.
Sorry, I'm stuck to mine here.
Okay.
Hi, Harmony.
Hi.
And
I think you have built your, you've been your phone on.
I guess, so hopefully there's no delay now.
And Chad?
Chad?
I'm present.
Okay. Is Joe on the line? I don't believe so. Joe is not here.
Okay. As I mentioned, the board members are attending via the WebEx conference. I acknowledge that Robin Van State, the board staff, is in attendance at the meeting location. Jeff Copper, counsel for the board, is also in attendance. I'd like to call for any public comment. This is a time set for the general public to address the board. I know there are no members of the public, so I will consideration of the dismissal appeal of Roger Erickson versus the Department of Correction. Each of you will have 5 minutes to speak. I know, Kirsten, you have appeared before us many times, but you know how that works. I don't recall whether you appeared before the board or not, but if you haven't, we give each side 5 minutes to make their case to us. And at the end of the 5 minutes, we'll hear a ding or a gong that will indicate your time is up. At that time, I'd like you to complete your statement, and then we will ask whether any of the board members have any questions. Clear enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Kirsten, you're the representative for the respondent. You're attending via teleconference. Will you please present your case?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. My name is Kirsten Story, and I represent the respondent, Arizona Department of Corrections Rehabilitation Reentry, in this appeal. Arizona Department of Corrections Rehabilitation and Reentry urges this board to adopt the hearing officer's findings of fact and conclusions of law as its own and to deny Mr. Erickson's appeal as recommended by the hearing officer. The hearing officer's report and recommendations are well supported by the hearing record, and there's no basis to overturn them. As a reminder, and as the hearing officer rightly recognized, the personnel board must affirm Mr. Erickson's discipline if a preponderance of the evidence supports the material facts set forth in his notice of dismissal. And the disciplinary action is not arbitrary or capricious. The discipline is not arbitrary or capricious if it is consistent with the guidelines set forth for disciplinary action in the department's policies and procedures. In this case, Department Order 601, and as the hearing officer rightly recognized, that is the case. The thrust of Mr. Erickson's appeal has been to attempt to rewrite the basis for the department's decision and get the personnel board to second-guess the department's policy and guidelines concerning drug use and possession. But neither are permissible in this board for this board. The department determines the material fact on which it bases its decision to discipline when it makes the disciplinary decision. In this case, the material facts are that Mr. Erickson used and possessed a drug or narcotic without lawful authorization, and that is set forth in the notion of dismissal. Mr. Erickson may want to misdirect attention to the actions of the young people who provided him with the substance he consumed, but those are the material facts. Discipline is based upon Mr. Erickson's conduct, and his conduct was that he unlawfully used and possessed a narcotic or a drug. And as the hearing officer they found, the bottom of the evidence supports this took place, which you have in Exhibit 8312, as well as the hearing testimony. The range of treatment for unlawful use of a drug or narcotic is dismissal, and just dismissal under Department 4601, which you have in Exhibit 16. Faced with this, Mr. Erickson has urged the board to find that the department's policies concerning dismissal for use, possession, and positive drug test are arbitrary. Again, the very definition of arbitrary does not permit this kind of finding because it is not arbitrary if it's in line with those written policies and procedures. And this board has no statutory authority to second guess or rewrite department policies and procedures. Finally, Mr. Erickson's discipline is supported by a just cause. I outlined this in our response to Mr. Erickson's objection, but just to quickly rehash, Mr. Erickson was well informed that he could be dismissed from marijuana use and possession, as you can see in Exhibits 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 16. Also, dismissal is reasonably related to Mr. Erickson's breach of professional standards of conduct and the department's mission and operations, as S. Rod Roberts explained, and as is further memorialized, again, in Exhibits 5 and 6. And as I discussed earlier, a preponderance of the evidence does support that Mr. Erickson used and possessed marijuana with no legal authorization to do so. Finally, given the nature of Mr. Erickson's unlawful behavior in conjunction with his prior disciplinary history, dismissal was not a disproportionate level of discipline. This is especially so given his departure from the department's mission, vision, principles, and policies and procedures concerning drug use. So the hearing officer's findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendations are well supported in the record, and therefore they should be adopted by this board. If the board has any questions, I am happy to entertain them at this time.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Story. Do any of the board members have any questions at this time? I would like to reserve my questions after Mr. Land.
Thank you.
Mr. Landon, if you'd know your position.
Okay, thank you, sir. For the record, my name is Neil Landine. I am an attorney with Jens Hilton Landine, and I represent the appellant, Roger Erickson, in this matter. As the board is aware, the appellant did submit written objections to the hearing officer's report, and I assume that those have been reviewed. Now, pursuant to Rule 251103X of the State Personnel Board Rules, upon his request and that the board reverse, modify, supplement, and reject the hearing officer's proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law as set forth in the written objections and determine that just cause did not exist and return an appellant to the same position he held prior to the dismissal with back pay. Now, as to some of the specific responses to the objection by the respondent, respondent asserts that while Erickson now wishes to assert that he did not know the muffins contained marijuana, he knew and understood the muffins were not innocent baked goods. Board, I would like you first to consider that there is no evidence that appellant knew that those muffins were laced with marijuana. Second, the only person making that claim is respondent's attorney. none of the witnesses at the hearing testified that Erickson knew and understood that the muffins were not innocent baked goods. In fact, Warden Roberts, the final decision maker in terminating appellant, not once did she testify that Erickson knew and understood that the muffins were laced with marijuana. In fact, when she was asked if she agreed that with appellant's characterization that he was the victim of deceit, her exact quote was, "I wouldn't, because he's an intelligent person, so if he didn't really want the muffins, he shouldn't have taken them." And then when she was asked what she had concluded had taken place, her exact quote is, "that he ate the muffins that obviously had something in them, or he took some kind of drugs, whether it be muffins or whatever." And then when she was asked whether appellant service record and achievements were considered when she imposed discipline, she testified, "No, because like I said, he's a decent officer. He's a really good officer, but it was a poor choice." Okay, and that's pretty much all she ever said about the incident. Not once did she testify that Erickson knew and understood that the muffins were laced with marijuana, and there was just no evidence of that whatsoever. Also, the evidence shows that appellant had no training or experience that would enable him to know that those muffins were tainted. In fact, appellant was asked, "Did you have any training or experience that would enable you to discern whether those muffins had been tainted?" And he said, "No, it looked like a muffin. It was a muffin." He said it didn't taste unusual, and he had never smoked marijuana before. He had never experienced anything like that. He had nothing to base it on. Appellant was asked, "Has the Arizona Department of Corrections ever provided you with any training to the effect that you're not to eat homemade goods?" And his response was no. There was no evidence to the contrary. And I'd also like the personnel board to consider the fact that the concerns about illegal drug use by corrections officers are that it will result in accidents, absenteeism, and safety concerns. Well, here the evidence reflects that none of those concerns were at issue here. I mean, this is clearly a very, very, very good employee. He has 1,756 lease hours banked. He goes to work every day, numerous awards and commendations. 22-year veteran of the Air Force. This is not a chronic drug user with problems with absenteeism, accidents, and safety concerns. This is clearly somebody who ate muffins that he did not know were laced with marijuana.
Mr. Lindy.
And finally, I would like the board to consider the fact that whether appellant is a marijuana user, which negatively impacts his job, that's testable, it's verifiable. In fact, appellant, he tried to introduce evidence of a full panel drug test that he passed on February 21st, but the hearing officer refused to admit it. I'm asking that the board admit this evidence and supplement the proposed findings accordingly.
Mr. Lindy.
Yes.
Please wrap up.
That's your...
Sorry, what?
That's the bell. That's the gong. Can you finish?
Oh, okay. I'll wrap up. Mr. Erickson, he has offered to pay for weekly drug testing if he's reinstated, and he would be happy to do that. So this is an issue that's verifiable going forward, and the evidence is clear that he did not knowingly ingest anything. He was the victim of a crime here, and he should not be punished for being the victim. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Landine, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name a little earlier. Board members, do you have any questions? No questions?
This is Chad Patrick. The appellant, you mentioned pay for drug testing. I'm just curious, where does that fit into state personnel policy, and was there an option for some type of accommodation or remediation of this behavior as a warning or something like that? Was that considered?
No, there was nothing considered other than immediate dismissal.
Welcome, Joe. Yeah. I see Joe Mears.
I apologize. I was detained.
Well, you're the most executive looking of the whole group, I have to tell you.
Just for you.
Ken, did you have your question adequately answered?
So one of the, and I would also ask from the Department of Corrections, what was there any, in terms of issuing a warning or other ways to work this out?
Kristen, I think that's a question for you. Kristen? Kristen, are you there? No. I think Kristen's there. I just don't know if you heard the question.
I think she might be on mute. Are we able to send a text or comment?
I have not figured out a comment or a text.
I can send a text.
Unmute her. Let's see. I did that last one time. I got it. I'm going to give her.
I have a question as well.
Okay. Go ahead. Go. Did you have a question?
Yeah, my question is, was there any prior disciplinary issues with this employee before this?
This is Neil Landine. Would you like me to answer that?
Go ahead, please.
Appellant has been with the Department of Corrections for 18 and a half years, and he's had one prior minor suspension issue way back in 2004, 2005, and that was it. So he's had an exemplary disciplinary record with no discipline for the past over 15 years.
Thank you. Kirsten, are you there? Can't hear you. I know Kirsten's trying to talk, but her microphone is muted. I think I can chat here. I figured out how to chat. If you scroll over the screen, there's a little chat bubble that comes up.
I just got off the phone with Kirsten. She lost audio, so she was going to disconnect and call back in.
Okay. No wonder I couldn't send my text to her. I have a question first, and that's why I was reserved to talk to her. So, Mr. Landine, if we can go over the appellant's disciplinary history, you said there has been a clean record for 15 years. What was the discipline that occurred 15 years ago?
Let me pull that up. Hang on.
And I'm not thinking that it's relevant to this. I'm just curious.
Kirsten, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten. I apologize.
So, if we can go back, I'm going to try to go back and then forward. If we go back, Chad Kripak had a question for you that I don't think you were able to hear or answer. Chad, could you repeat?
I apologize.
Yes, the question was, prior to the judgment taken against the appellant, did the Department of Corrections attend any type of warning or way to work it out?
So that notice of dismissal was issued. So, prior to the notice of dismissal, Mr. Erickson received both the results of his drug test as well as an administrative inquiry requesting an explanation and response concerning the results of the drug test. That's commonly known as receiving 601 paperwork. And so at that point, he's on notice that the disciplinary process has started and the potential for discipline. At that point, he also knew that he had received a positive test result that was the penalty range for which was dismissed on. So at that point, you know, typically if an officer wants to, you know, try to work something out or negotiate something or, resign in lieu or something like that, that's kind of a triggering event right now as he starts with the 601 paperwork. That didn't happen. He attempted to submit a new drug sample, you know, on his own, and then he provided us with a response. And then ultimately after that, he provided with a notice of charges, which definitely placed him on notice that the department was moving down the line to dismissal consistent with this part of policy. Again, that was, you know, another opportunity if he wanted to work it out, he could have worked it out. Instead, he proceeded with a response, and here we are.
So this is Neil Landy. So the answer to the question is no. There was no training offered. There was nothing else offered other than dismissal.
I'm sorry, was the question if there was training offered or whether there was a negotiation?
Negotiation.
Okay, then in that case, there was no negotiation because it did not appear that Mr. Erickson wanted to negotiate.
For the record, this is Neil Landy. Mr. Erickson submitted a written rebuttal explaining that he was the victim of deceit by being given these late muffins, and the response was to terminate him, not to offer any training or any negotiation whatsoever.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more question. In the prior 18 years, I don't know if we're approved information or not, but how many drug tests was the appellant given, and what were the previous drug tests?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information. He would have been subject to random drug tests throughout that entire time, though, if he had been an officer.
Do we have any record that he tested positive on any previous test?
No, we do not.
Okay. Are we done with questions? Joe, did you get your question answered?
Yeah, thank you.
So my question is along the lines of the other questions, and it's the totality of the service record of this individual. It appears that he's got, the hearing officer says 18 to 19 years, we think it's about 18 and a half. And the questions have been around, was there anything else in his service record? The answer has been only one issue, and that was in, I believe, 2004, so 15 years ago. Pierce asked the question about whether he had any previous drug tests and how those were, the results of those. First, my question is really now to you. When the state considers the totality of a service record, are there times when the service record is not considered because of the severity of the offense? Like it would be.
Yes. So if you look for CO 601, there are a range of potential forms of misconduct and classifications of misconduct, and you'll see there are different classifications of misconduct. go class 1 to, I think, class 7, and then some of them have immediate dismissal. So, you know, for those offenses that are with the immediate range of dismissal, then a first offense can result in dismissal because those offenses are considered so serious and critical to the nature of the position that they can warrant immediate dismissal on the first offense. And you'll see that there are other types of misconduct that are accounted for in department policy that can be class 1, class 2, class 3. And with those, you know, you can see in the range of penalty chart that's also in DO 601, that a first offense will not necessarily result in a disciplinary action if the prior service record is relatively clean. So it just depends on the type of misconduct and the classification of the offense. In this case, unlawful use of possession of a narcotic or drug without lawful prescription is one of those offenses that happens to be, like, if it's on a first offense, that can result in dismissal because it's considered such a severe offense, especially in light of the fact that we're talking about safety-sensitive officers who are entrusted with the care and custody of inmates. Law enforcement agency are categorized as law enforcement officers. And so it's really contrary to the nature of their position to have a law enforcement officer engaging in unlawful conduct.
Okay, so follow up to that. You mentioned he was in possession of an unlawful substance. I'm curious the difference between being in possession and being under the influence. Does the department ever recognize it? Does the department recognize the difference?
So for this classification of offense, what he was charged with, and as indicated in the notice of dismissal, it was use or possession of an unlawful drug or narcotic without a lawful prescription. So it could be use or it could be possession. And in this case, both use and possession were actually established both by Mr. Erickson's own account. And by the positive drug test results. So according to Mr. Erickson, according to the drug test results, you know, he definitely used marijuana, and Mr. Erickson did not contest that fact or the results of that test. And his explanation, when asked for an explanation of his positive drug test results, was the story about having received these muffins, having taken them home, having put them in his freezer, having then consumed them and thereby used them, which resulted in his positive test results. And then he kept a third muffin after experiencing symptoms associated with having consumed the first two. So in this sense, we have both use and possession.
And if I may, this is Neil Landing. Use and possession is one thing, but unlawful use and possession is quite another. And it has been our contention from the very beginning that his use and possession was not unlawful because he was the victim of a crime.
And for the reasons stated in our response to the objection, that is just not the case. The victimhood is not established by the record. Furthermore, what's at issue in this case is Mr. Erickson's actions and his choices. And a preponderance of the evidence supports that he engaged in unlawful use or possession of a drug or narcotic substance.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
First, this is for the state of Arizona. Your response to Mark Zipkin's question was that this offense can result in immediate dismissal. If you could clarify me on the law, please. Is it a mandatory dismissal or is it a can be dismissed? I'm unclear as to whether that's a
It is a can-be dismissed situation. There is no penalty rate set forth in DO601 other than dismissal, but there are mitigating factors which the department has discretion to weigh. The mitigating factors could potentially theoretically result in a lower level of disciplinary action. In this case, the department weighed what could have been mitigating factors, including, as Mr. Erickson has referenced, his, 18 and a half years with the department, and his explanation. They weighed also, what he presented as mitigating factors and determined that they did not justify a departure from the presumptive penalty range of dismissal.
Okay, thank you.
And there is also no evidence that really the department has actually departed from that presumptive penalty range in instances of use or possession of a drug or narcotic circumstances. That's reflected in Exhibit 13. There's charts of prior similar disciplinary action.
I'd like to request an executive session to get some clarification from our attorney.
Okay, can Kirsten and Neil drop off this call?
Check.
In favor?
Aye.
Rob, can you administratively connect back, Miska? We're at the completion of executive session. I've called the meeting back in order. And at this point, I would like to make a motion. I move to adopt the hearing officer's finding of facts and conclusions of law as our report. I move we reject and substitute, therefore, the following conclusions of law. And I move that we substitute in place of number 9 the language that discipline imposed by the respondent is excessive and not reasonably related to the seriousness of the offense. That is based on the review of the entire record and the totality of Mr. Erickson's service. I further move that we reinstate the employee with back pay of his
termination. I second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Let's do a roll.
Aye.
That was Harmony, correct?
Yes, that was Harmony.
Joe?
Aye for Beers.
Dad?
Aye.
And I am also an aye. With that, the motion carries, and we have concluded the case for Mr. Erickson. Thank you, Kirsten, for appearing, and Mr. Landine, also.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. The talent will be very, very happy. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next order of business is being the chair and the vice chair for the personnel board for the calendar year 2020. Do we have a nomination for a chair?
Nominate Mark Ziska.
I can't do it. The statute doesn't allow me to serve twice. I do enjoy it. I have to admit, I really do enjoy the personnel board. And I was very pleased to be reappointed. I'll be happy to serve as the vice chair.
Okay, I'll agree to serve if you'll serve as vice chair and give me a hand.
You'll agree to serve as vice chair?
No, I'll agree to serve as chairman, provided you serve as vice chair and give me some assistance.
I will. Alright, so nomination for chair is Joe Beers. Is there a second?
I second that. This is Harmony.
Okay. Joe, do you accept the position at this time?
I do.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. reluctantly. Fifth grade anyway. Okay. Congratulations, Joe. You'll serve as the chairman for the 2020 calendar year at the Personnel Board. Is there a nomination for vice chair?
Nominate Mark Ziska.
Is there a second? I, Mark Ziska, will accept this position. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then that is taken care of. At this point, I don't think there's anything else for the good of the order. So if hearing none, I move we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I actually think, Joe, you need to adjourn the meeting.
Meeting is adjourned. All in favor of adjourning the meeting, say aye.
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 Thank you. Good night, everybody.